Well, as we dive into God's Word this morning, we find ourselves again in the book of Acts. If you've been a part of Dallas Four Square Church for any time now, you know that we've been in a series titled The Bible, A True Story for quite some time now. So far, we've gone through the entire Old Testament, and now we're up to Acts here in the New Testament. And the thing is, this morning, I have a lot of stuff that we're going to cover, and so we're going to jump right into the scripture this morning. It's found in Acts 19, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And so it says this: while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. And we're going to stop there this morning. Now, these verses start off talking about a man named Apollos. And it's in Acts 18 where we're first introduced to him. And I actually want to share that scripture with you this morning. And tell me as I read it, if you can't spot some similarities between this verse I'm going to read in Acts 18 and the verses we just read in Acts 19. And so Acts 18:25, it's talking about Apollos, and it says this: "He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John." Now, sounds similar to what I just read in chapter 19, and that's because it is. Both Apollos and the men here from Ephesus, they were familiar with John's baptism, but they didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Paul was talking about. And here's something that I've come to understand about Scripture. And that's, if it repeats itself, it usually means that God is trying to make sure we're not missing what's being said. And so in this case, I believe was that God was wanting to make sure that both the people back in these days and us reading it today, that we don't miss this second baptism. That there were people who were hearing about Jesus. People were hearing how he died and rose again, how he conquered sin and death, how he paid the price for sin. They were hearing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They had heard about the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance, the kind of baptism that we actually have done here at church when we bring people up and we baptize them in water. But they hadn't heard about this second baptism. They hadn't heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing, there are a lot of Christians, even today, that aren't familiar with this baptism. That they aren't familiar with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Paul is talking about here to the people of Ephesus. And so what's happening in these scriptures this morning is that Apollos and these people from Ephesus, they're being made aware of this new baptism. Listen to verse 5 and 6 again. When Paul realized they hadn't heard of the second baptism, listen to what it says. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, I know that just the mention of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and especially the mention of tongues and prophecy, can cause some people to get a little uncomfortable. If we were in church, there'd be some people that maybe would start to get up and head out the doors. And maybe some of you right now are reaching for your remote, but don't. Please don't stop the video this morning. I understand that this can be an uncomfortable subject. I know that some people don't like to talk about tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the reason for that is the truth is, many people and even churches over the years have abused the gifts of the Spirit that Paul talks about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and probably not intentionally, but it's happened time and time again over the years, and I have my own little belief or theory on why it becomes what it's become. Let me just kind of give you some of my thoughts on this, right? And these are my opinions and my views. It's not scripture. This is just what I've seen over the years at times in the church. We see God move in a powerful way, right? We see God move in a church service or in a moment, and people are healed or people experience this great power of the Lord upon their life, and they're impacted by it. And so they want to experience that again. I want to experience that healing. I want to experience the way God moved through me in that moment. And so what happens a lot of times, I think, in the church is we try to recreate what God did then. And we try to get that same feeling. We try to make that same thing happen in the same way that it happened before. And the next thing we know, God isn't in it. It's us now trying to recreate. It's us now trying to make it happen. And instead of it being the Lord, it's just us then kind of looking silly and now scaring people and pushing people away from church and the power of the Holy Spirit because it doesn't seem right to them. And so I know that this, it can be an intimidating topic for some people, but let me try to share it with you in a way that I hope isn't intimidating. Because after all, it's a gift from the Lord. If you remember, Jesus said, go and wait for the gift that the Father is going to give to you. It's a gift from God, and it's supposed to be something wonderful. It's supposed to be beautiful and attractive. It's not supposed to be scary. And so I want to try to bring it to you in a way that explains it and where it isn't scary, where it isn't intimidating. Now, we first hear reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Matthew 3, actually, way back there, Matthew 3:11. And that's where John the Baptist, he tells people, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then Jesus, he says almost the same thing in Acts 1:5 when he says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then it's actually in Acts 2 where we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit fall upon the disciples for the first time. And I actually want to read that little section of Scripture to you again this morning. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It's at this moment that the disciples and the followers of Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the very first time. And I want to clarify something here because it can be a little confusing, the words and some similarities between the words. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or as it is sometimes referred to as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this is different than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that's what happens when we get saved. When we ask Jesus into our heart, when we believe in Jesus and we accept Him as Lord and Savior of our life, His Spirit comes and lives in us. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we see in Acts 2, is what I really consider an added bonus from the Lord. It's an extra gift that He gives us in times. It often shows itself in the form of special gifts, or maybe even just in the form of a little boldness to help us at certain times or moments in our lives. It often strengthens us or empowers us to be who God has called us to be. Or like Jesus Himself says in Acts 1:8, it's power. It's the power that we need to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth, to truly experience all the life that He has for us. Now, when I talked about the Holy Spirit in my youth days, back when I was a youth pastor, I used to compare it to those TV shows where they would remodel houses or cars, where they do those massive renovations, and you know how they would show them the house, you know, they take them through and they say, oh look, here's this part, here's this, here's that, and the thing about those shows is just when you thought it was over, just when you saw everything, just when the people who were getting revealed their house thought they saw everything, they go, but that's not it. Look, there's more. And they would take them and show them this amazing final thing that they had done. And I believe that's kind of what the Lord does with the Holy Spirit. You know, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that's an amazing thing, the fact that His Spirit lives in us. But it's like God is saying, yes, that's amazing, but wait, I've got more. Not only is He going to live in you, I am going to pour out my Spirit upon you in ways that stir up gifts that will enable you to do things that you never thought or imagined that you can do. In Acts 2, this is what the disciples and the followers of Jesus experienced. That they had been faithful to wait for the gift, just like Jesus had told them to. And the Lord fulfilled His promise as they were filled or baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, there was this wonderful and miraculous thing that began to happen in and through their lives. And the thing is these things that happen, they weren't scary or freaky. And that's because it was the power of God at work in and through their lives. And I think one of the most common gifts that we see as a result of this baptism is just this amazing boldness. We see a great example of this in Acts chapter 2 with Peter. Because when we think about Peter, when we mention Peter in the Bible, we often remember the story of Peter denying Jesus, right? Isn't that one of the most common things we remember when we think about Peter? The fact that he denied Jesus. When Jesus was being persecuted, when Jesus was facing death on the cross, Peter denied that he even knew Him. And he didn't just do it once, he did it three times. And this is after the fact that he stood before the Lord the night before and said, man, I would die for you. I would do anything for you, Jesus. And then what does he do? He goes and denies Jesus three times. But then if you fast forward a few chapters here into Acts chapter 2, Peter, he's standing up in front of the same people that crucified Jesus, and he begins to share the gospel with this amazing boldness without fear or doubt or worry of what might happen to him. And so you got to ask the question, what was different about Peter, from this Peter to this Peter? Well, the difference is that this Peter now had experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his life, and it was the outpouring and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his life that enabled him to speak with the boldness and the power and the authority that he spoke with. And I believe that God, He desires to give us that same kind of boldness and authority today, because He desires to pour out His Spirit upon all of us. Now, the thing we have to understand is that the way He pours out His Spirit may look different for every single one of us. Because the baptism or outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it can show itself in many different ways. There are many different gifts that God gives to different people. And Paul talks about these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11. And so I want to actually take a little bit of time this morning to go to that section of Scripture and look at these gifts that God wants to give us. And so I encourage you to follow along with me as I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. It says this: to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, like I said, in these scriptures, Paul describes the gifts that we receive through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to take a moment this morning to just point out each of the gifts that Paul describes. And I want to do my best to share these gifts and help us better understand how they work. And so the first thing that Paul mentions here in verse 8 is he refers to a message of wisdom, which is what we often call words of wisdom. And this, I believe, is where God gives us words to say to someone that might give them guidance or wisdom about something that maybe they were wondering about or struggling with. And here's the thing. I honestly believe that this is one of those gifts that many of us operate in at times, and we don't even realize it. Let me share an example for you. Have you ever had someone ask you something? Maybe they were seeking wisdom or something, and out of nowhere, you say these profound and meaningful words, so much so that afterwards you're like, wow, that was good. Where'd that come from, right? Well, more often than not, it wasn't us. It was the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through us with words of wisdom. It's an amazing gift that God chooses to give to some people through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the next thing that Paul talks about in verse 8 is a message of knowledge, which we often refer to as words of knowledge. And this, I believe, is where the Holy Spirit gives us a supernatural knowledge of things that we wouldn't know about on our own. We wouldn't know about someone or that situation without this. You know, an example might be the Lord, you know, telling us to go and say something to someone, to speak a certain word or a scripture to someone. And what we say to them is exactly what they needed to hear in that moment and in that time. And the fact is, we couldn't have known it on our own. We didn't know what they were going through. We didn't know what was going through their mind, but the Holy Spirit did, and the Holy Spirit put it on our heart. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to speak things and share things with people that impact their lives and encourage them in powerful ways. And then the next gift that Paul talks about in verse 9, he simply just says faith. And it's what I refer to often as an increased faith. And this is probably one of the most common gifts we see people experience, as I even talked about earlier. It's that boldness that I was talking about when I was talking about Peter and what Peter experienced, where we grow in our faith in such a way that we're not afraid to be bold and to speak the truth for the Lord, or where we're able to pray with this power and authority, with the kind of faith that knows that God is in control and that He's going to answer these prayers. It's that childlike faith that just trusts in God and the promises of His Word. I believe it's that kind of faith that I had as a little 5-year-old when I told my dad that he didn't need that cast because Jesus could heal his broken leg. I've shared this story a few times in church, you know, where after my dad breaking his leg and after me sharing that with him, and I can't remember if we prayed or not, but 2 days later he went to the doctor and said, "Hey, can you cut this off? I believe my leg is healed." And that 2 days later he walked out of the doctor's office with his leg healed and no cast. It's an amazing gift of the Spirit that empowers us to be bold and to see God's will accomplished in and through our lives in amazing ways. And I believe that this is one of those gifts that we should be seeking and asking God to give us in these times today. We need that increased faith to trust Him for our lives and the situations that surround us in our world right now. It's important that we have that faith in Him and know that He's with us. And then the next gift that Paul talks about in verses 9 and 10 as it flows over are actually gifts that I've grouped together. And that's healing and miracles. And that's because healing is a miracle, and I think these two go hand in hand, healing and miracles. And these are the gifts that we saw in Peter and Paul and the disciples, where God would use them through the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on people and to see them healed, and it would do these miraculous things, which we were seeing all throughout Acts. We saw all these miracles happen, where lame people became able to walk, where blind people were able to see, where Saul, Paul himself is Saul, a man who was killing Christians, his life was miraculously changed as he experienced Jesus for the first time. You know, that in and of itself was a huge miracle. And then the numerous times where Peter and Paul escaped death, those were huge miracles. Again, all throughout Acts and the New Testament, we see healings and miracles taking place through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe God still empowers people with this gift today to see healings happen in our world. Now, the sad thing is, I don't think we see this as much here in the United States today, but there are missionaries all over the world in third world countries that are continuing to see the move of God in these powerful ways where miracles are happening in lives where people are being raised from the dead and God is doing the miraculous. And let me just say this. The truth is, it is happening here in our nation. Probably more than we think. It's just that our unbelieving world doesn't like to acknowledge that it was a miracle or healing of God. They like to find other ways to say these things happen. But God is still working in our world today. And it's one of those amazing gifts that God wants to use in and through us at times in our life to bring healing, to do miracles in people's lives, in our lives. Amen. And then the next gift that Paul talks about there in verse 10 is prophecy. And I believe this is where the Holy Spirit will give a glimpse or a word or maybe a vision of something that has not yet happened, or maybe something that is yet to take place. Maybe it's to warn someone, to warn us. Perhaps it's to encourage someone. Maybe about something God is wanting to do in them or how He may want to use them in the future. And this prophetic word, it encourages people to keep moving forward, to push through difficulties and challenges that they may experience along the way. And I know from my own experience that that it's prophetic words from people in my own life that were spoken to me as a young man that kept me moving on the path that God had for me as I held on to those words, those promises of God, because it's a powerful gift that can encourage and help us on the journey of seeking to follow God's will and desire for our lives. And then the next gift we see there in verse 10 that Paul talks about, he words it here, it's worded in the NIV as distinguishing between spirits, which is often referred to as discernment, the gift of discernment. And it's when God enables us to see what is of the Lord and what is of the world. It's a gift that I believe helps us determine the difference between truth and lies. Many of us as parents, at times, we try to use discernment when dealing with our kids, right? You know, maybe there's a fight or something, you know, between our kids and they both have a different story and we're trying to discern who's really telling the truth here. And this gift of spiritual discernment is very similar. It enables us to know what is the truth and what isn't when it comes to these spiritual things in our life. And in these times, I really believe many of us, we could use this gift because it's hard to know right now in today's world who to trust, who's telling the truth, who's lying, because it seems like no one's telling the truth in our world today. And so we need spiritual discernment to be able to know what it is, what is of the Lord and what isn't. And so we need to seek that discernment because it's an amazing gift that can help us discern His truths and make right decisions when it comes to spiritual truth. And then the final gifts that we get into here at the end of verse 10 are probably the most controversial gifts, right? And I say that because they're the ones that seem to scare people the most. But the truth is they really shouldn't. These gifts that I'm talking about, they deal with what the Scriptures refer to as tongues. And first off, we have to understand that there are two different types of tongues that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. And so the first one is the tongues that is often referred to as our spiritual language. Our spiritual language. Now, I think when you hear it described this way, it actually is self-explanatory, I think. It's the spiritual language, the supernatural language that the Holy Spirit gives us to pray and seek the Lord with. And this is the tongues that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14. It's actually for us, right? Because it edifies us and strengthens our connection and our relationship with the Lord. It's for us and Him together through the Holy Spirit. And it's really about us allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us and for us. And I can tell you, I use my spiritual language when I'm praying and I don't know how to pray, when I'm praying for a situation or praying for someone here and I don't have the words to pray. I just find myself praying in my spiritual language. When I'm at a loss for words, I just give it to the Lord and I begin to speak and allow the Holy Spirit to pray things that I wouldn't even know how to pray or what to pray. And so I pray in that spiritual language where I don't really know what I'm saying, but I know that the Holy Spirit does, and I know that it's powerful and it's moving through the powers of darkness in our world. And the thing I've realized about this gift of tongues, though, is that it often takes great faith to use your spiritual language. And that's because we have to trust that it is our spiritual language and not just us making up words that don't mean anything. And honestly, when I first received my spiritual language at a young age, I struggled with whether or not I was just making words up. Is this really a spiritual language or am I just faking it? Is it real? And I struggled with it until my dad shared his experience with me. And I know I've shared this before, but when I was in middle school, my dad told me how he used to doubt his spiritual language. He used to wonder, was I really saying anything? Am I making up things? He thought those things himself until one time at church years and years ago. It was a Sunday night service, and at church they were lifting up prayer requests together on that Sunday night. And at one point in the midst of that time of prayer, the pastor said to everyone, hey, if you have a spiritual language, will you just pray in your spiritual language as we just give this to the Lord? And so my dad, he began to pray in his spiritual language. And it was after the service that this Native American man, he came up to my father and he asked him this question. He said, when you were asked to pray in your spiritual language tonight, did you know what you were praying? And my dad said, no, I was just praying in my spiritual language. And he said to him, well, you were speaking in my native tongue. I could understand the words that you were saying. And my dad said, after that, he never doubted again his spiritual language. And since my dad told me that story, I have never doubted my spiritual language. And I believe the gift of tongues as a spiritual language is real, and it can be a powerful gift to help us grow in the Lord as we give these things to Him and pray His words, not ours. And then the last gift that Paul talks about here in verse 10 is this gift of tongues and interpretations, and they go hand in hand. And this is where someone, whether it's in like a church setting or a group setting of some sort, there definitely has to be more than one person there. And this is where someone will share what is referred to as a tongue, right? You know, that this supernatural language that they will speak in that moment. Usually, you know, it's not real long. It's just kind of a few phrases where someone speaks this tongue. But after they speak this tongue, there is someone who then shares an interpretation of what that tongue meant, which is usually some kind of word from the Lord that builds and encourages people up. And one of the things that's important for us to know about tongues and interpretations is that a tongue should not be given unless there is an interpretation. And this is one of those ones that has caused struggles and difficulties in the church, because you have someone that stands up and starts giving a tongue, and then there's no one to give an interpretation, and then it's awkward, and people are like, what was that? That was weird. And was that of God? I don't think that was of God. And those are the kinds of times where that's why we have to be careful. And so there's always, if there's going to be a tongue, there has to be an interpretation. And so we have to understand that about this. And here's the thing. I know that I just shared a lot of information with you in a very short period of time. I could probably take an hour and a half, 2 hours to go through these spiritual gifts and to talk about them and to give more information on them. But these are the gifts that the Lord gives to His people through the baptism and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And something that's important for us to understand is that God gives different gifts to different people. We don't get all of these gifts. God distributes those gifts through the power of the Holy Spirit to who He feels needs them in this time or that time or different situations. And we don't get to decide which gift we get. That is up to the Lord. And honestly, as we seek the gifts, our job is just to pray. Our job is just to say, Lord, fill me, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. And then we let God do the rest. We let God do what He wants to do in and through us and give us the gifts that we need for wherever we're at in whatever moment, whatever time. And here's the thing. Some of you listening to this message might be thinking, well, man, I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit a long time ago. You know, I know a lot of us, being a youth pastor, camp, man, we experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit at camp. But here's the thing. I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that the Lord wants to continually do in our life. It's something that we have to continually seek to have in and through our lives. I don't believe it's a one-time thing. And I think that there's actually scripture that backs this up. If you remember, after they received the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, they go out and they share the gospel and the church begins to grow. But in Acts 3, they actually begin to face persecution. And after Peter and John are thrown in jail, fear and doubt begins to creep back into the lives of the believers. But look at what happens in Acts chapter 4. I want to read to you Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. It says this: on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, which was basically, you can no longer speak the name of Jesus, right? Verse 24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And I want to jump now from verse 24 to jump 31, or to verse 31. And listen to what it says. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all, that's important there, all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And the reason that all is important, because there were some of, these were some of the same people that were filled with the Spirit back in Acts chapter 2. And so they were once again filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why I believe that it's not a one-time thing. This is why I believe that we have to continually seek the power of the Holy Spirit for Him to stir up His Spirit and the gifts in us all the time. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we experiencing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives today? Because just like the examples we saw in Acts 18 and 19, there are many believers out there that haven't experienced this second baptism. They maybe experienced the baptism of water, but they haven't experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're missing out on these amazing gifts that God has for them. Or maybe we experienced those gifts a long time ago at camp or in different situations, but it's been a long time since we've sought the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I compare this reality of not having and not operating in the Holy Spirit to coming downstairs at Christmas morning, seeing all these beautiful packages and gifts that are sitting under the tree that are just waiting to be opened, waiting to be experienced. But instead of opening them, we just look at them and we admire how beautiful they are. We admire the wrapping and the bows and the ribbons, and we admire all that stuff, and we miss out on the joy and the blessing that the gifts inside would bring us. That's what it's like if we're not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to finish with this. I think we need to ask ourselves this morning, when, if ever, for some of us, was the last time that we sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't just for the people in Acts or in the New Testament. God desires to pour out His Spirit on us in the same way today. And we have to ask, are we experiencing the gifts of His Spirit? Are we experiencing all that He has for us? Are we experiencing the more, right? Because experiencing this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it isn't difficult. I believe it's just a matter of us asking Him, coming before Him and saying, Lord, come, fill me, pour out Your Spirit upon me. Allow me to receive the gifts that You have for me. Allow me to operate in those gifts throughout my day. As a matter of fact, if that's your desire this morning, if you want to receive the outpouring of the Spirit in your life, then I encourage you to partner with me in prayer as we finish up our time this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning and we seek You, Lord. We seek more of You. Lord, we are so thankful that as we receive You as Lord and Savior of our life, Your Spirit comes and lives in us. But Lord, you want to give us more than just your Spirit in us. You want to pour out your Spirit in a way where we operate in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just want to pray that for all of us today, for those that are watching, listening to this message, Lord, I just pray that their heart would desire to receive these gifts that you have for them. Whatever those gifts may be, Lord, that they would seek you every day, Lord. I believe the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is something that you want to do in us every single day. You want us to go into that world with that power so that we can be your witnesses to the world around us, so that we can truly live life to the fullest, that we can live life abundantly as your scriptures talk about, Lord. And so I want to pray for those that want to receive that, Lord, that today fill us with the power of your Spirit, Lord. Give us the gifts that you want to give us so that we can be the life that you desire us to be. Give us that boldness, that faith, that strength. Give us words of wisdom and knowledge and prophecy in ways that we can encourage and uplift one another, Lord. May you pour out your Spirit, Lord. We want to see miracles. We want to see healing happen in this world, Lord. We want to be empowered. We want the spiritual language that you want to give us. We want to see these things at work in and through our life. Lord, give us discernment in these times. And so, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. We pray that this morning as we come before you and seek you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to remember that this isn't a one-time thing, Lord, that we have to continually seek you, continually contend for the power of your Spirit to move in and through our lives, Lord. And so I thank you for this morning. I pray, Lord, too, for those that maybe have been turned off and are intimidated by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by the gifts that you want to give. I pray that, Lord, you would open up their hearts to see, Lord, the beauty of these gifts that you desire to give to us, Lord. And so we seek them today in your precious name. Amen.